and assure success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. United we stand, divided we fall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and goodness knows how many other websites we've got going, and not to mention, of course, our fabulous, somewhat flagship-ish type station in the Tron, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be another exciting show. Today, I can assure you, we're going to be talking a subject which we do talk on a little bit on the show, child kidnapping and chemtrails again. And in case any of you haven't heard, there was an incident in Arkansas where something like 5,000 plus birds over a 5 mile squared area just dropped dead. And their internal organs were pulverized. Now, in my household, I'm the conspiracy theorist, okay? And my girlfriend took that hat on for some reason that day and said, so it looks like it must be a weapons test. And I was like, well, that didn't occur to me. I thought it might have been fireworks or the weather that killed a very specific species of bird and pulverized them all internally at the exact same time over a huge area, right? Which is what the news
fossil
is saying.
Fossil fuels did it, Vinny. Fossil fuels, climate
change. Yeah, straight up. It was climate change that killed the 5,000 specific blackbirds over a big area. It was climate change that killed 100,000 plus fish or whatever in the river upstream that were only of one species as well. I find it very interesting how it's very, very specific, you know? Like if a bomb goes off or something like that, it kills everything, okay? But what's happening here is highly suspicious. Highly suspicious. Goodness knows what the heck caused it.
Well, some people saying that it might be harp.
What was that race?
Well, they have race-based bioweapons now. They can even, they can even target unique DNA patterns, i.e. individuals.
Yeah, they were developed by South Africa, incidentally.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so
F.W. de Klerk is a good man.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back after this quick break. And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Shouting out to all our listeners in the oddest places. Apparently we have a listener in Seoul, in South Korea, my Seoul brother. All right, we have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. And occasionally, apparently, many people around the world are having the kids taken off them for no effing good reason. Through very, very corrupt means, scumbags, and hushed I say, pedophiles, working for the government. One such person who's had to suffer this terrible event, like many others, is David Kogler, who's coming at us live from Waiheke Island, the same small town that Will lives in. David, welcome to the program.
Hi. How you going?
Well, you know, probably a lot better than you at this point, mate. Yeah. I'll yeah. You know, it's pretty awful, mate. Now, would you give us a bit of a background? I mean, which child of yours is missing?
Well, we had twins sort of the beginning of 2010. It was an induced sort of it was a really terrible. It was not a planned pregnancy. So we sort of, you know, and it was actually triplets initially, fraternal triplets, so separate, you know, separate eggs essentially, and each one was half the size of the other one. And through the proceedings, the smallest one basically disappeared, and so we were just left with two. And I had to be induced sort of at 30 weeks, so they were premature, and ever since then we've sort of been hounded by the Child, Youth and Family Services. You know, every move has been closely scrutinised and judged upon harshly and all that, you know. It's just been a battle, essentially.
So why have they taken an interest in it in particular?
Twins. I guess my partner's on the Maori role, I suppose. I mean, she's down as a Maori. There's many reasons why. I mean, she's had trouble in the past. You know, it's why
your stable household. Your stable household now.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. We've got two older girls who I'm the father to, but I'm not biologically their father. But no, things have been great.
So unfortunately, you lost the. I'm sorry to hear that you lost your third child just during labour.
Well, not so. Just in the proceedings, it kind of like didn't make it. So it sort of seemed like. You know, from a layman's perspective, it kind of seemed like there was, like they were almost conceived at different times, if you know what I mean. Like, just going by how they're incrementally smaller, and the last one just...
Development of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, sort of after, I think, maybe the 20-week mark, they completely disappeared, so...
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting in disguise, but...
And were the two babies that made it, were they healthy? You know, with the first
Well,
two.
No, they had to be induced because the little girl, her placenta had run out of... See, my partner also had severe morning sickness. Just, she couldn't keep any food down. She actually lost weight when she got during her pregnancy, which is, you know, never a good thing. And, of course, that has, like, severe, you know, causes severe, you know, issues as far as their development and stuff goes, you know, growth retardation and such forth. No, they weren't the best. But they had to induce because she'd run out of food, so they couldn't just bring her out and leave him in there. And so they induced them at 30 weeks, caesarean sectioned at 30 weeks. And she, funnily enough, was a bit more robust, even though she was only weighed 750 grams, which is pretty small. Like her leg is about as big as my finger, you know, like. But she didn't seem to need any like support with breathing and stuff like that, whereas he did. He kind of
that's less than 2 pounds for our US listeners.
That's one and a half pound for her, and he was about he was about 3 pounds. Yeah.
Well, so how did the first sort of 10 weeks go?
Well, 10 weeks was in hospital, but we got shunted from pillar to post. We were living out west in West Auckland at the time, and they were at the newborn ICU unit in Auckland Hospital. So we're travelling in there daily and stuff. And, I think as a rule, like, social workers get involved, like, in that sort of situation, you know, under the guise of help. But then, you know, it sort of never leaves.
So you felt they had an agenda the whole way?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yep.
Were they just probing you? Do they want to know everything about your history? Do they get a
that's the thing. We've been pretty open about our histories and stuff, and like, misspent youth and whatnot sort of seems to come into it as per se, you know. But
and how old are you both?
We're about in early thirties. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so they want to know about your teenage years or something when you're in your 30s?
No. Just I guess years leading up to it and whatnot. But not so much that. It's just the relevancy of their you know. It's like they're trying to find reasons other than what's in front of them to what's wrong. You know what I mean? As opposed to it's right in front of you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like a false social science.
Yeah. It's just we couldn't understand it, and just sort of weren't treated very nicely and stuff as a result, at all. And they did tests and stuff that, you know, we would not agree to or anything, and came up with these with tests that we completely denied because they weren't true. And but they got thrown in there, and we've been tarred with the brush ever since. You know.
So they did tests on your children or yourself, sorry?
Yeah, on the children, apparently.
Really?
Although when we requested these tests, they never eventuated. And not only we requested them, but the first people that, because there was an initial investigation from there, like from Child, Youth and Family. Luckily, that time around, we actually had one of the very few social workers that were working there at the time that actually did their job. And, and now, like, we gave her a hard time in a certain sense, but... On hindsight, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better one because she played by the rules, you know.
So there are some good people in all these agencies, but then, I mean, if you
she doesn't
you
work study, there anymore, yeah, sort of that way.
I mean, like me and Vinny, we've had Jonathan Irish on the show who had his child abducted 6 hours after birth at New Hampshire Hospital there, and in researching this whole structure we like to call the New World Order, mate, I tell you what, there are, in just the foundings of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, I mean, it's an entire eugenics operation.
That's right. I was talking to Graham X about that yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they won't like knowing that, and that's the thing. If these little gremlins get an inkling that you know something like that, I mean, they're just going to hate you with their smiley little beady faces, yeah.
That's right. I mean, because what came up was the fact that we got the two older girls. The oldest girl was vaccinated, on her father's request against her mother's wishes when she was young. And as a result, she sort of seems to pick up every bug that comes along. And my partner insisted the second time around that was never going to happen with her second child. And as a result, Kaney has never been vaccinated at all. And has never had an antibiotic in her life. She's nearly 5 years old now, you know? Like, it's just there in itself as a control experiment to prove, like, the, you know, how kind of bad they are.
I've heard that a lot, mate. There's a lot of people on just in this town here, mate, that have not been vaccinated and the healthiest people you know. And, you know, I got shot up when I was a kid, and I tell you, I've got allergies and whatnot, but generally healthy, luckily. But do they try and vaccinate these your youngest two?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, you know, and that gets used against you and stuff. And, like, we've just been, you know, I mean, I didn't just sort of take someone's word for it. I mean, you know, people sort of sneer at online research, but I think you can get a lot of information off the internet, both good and bad. And, if you read enough, you can get a fairly balanced, if you're intelligent enough.
It's the world's biggest library, and these people don't have any discernment, so they just go, it's all rubbish.
Yeah, and it's not exactly. It's not just like some hippie out of a house bus sort of saying it, you know. It's like from medical professionals that have done their, you know, time at university and whatever, that are saying these things, you know, like, you know, middle age plus, you know, respected pediatricians and whatnot saying that, you know, the best chance you have for your children being healthy is basically keeping them away from doctors. You know?
Doctors. The best way to get evidence on anything like this is to go to the largest sample size you can, and that's on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
And let's get the largest frame of reference that we possibly can to look at an issue to get the most accurate results. And if you do that, you'll find that, you know, vaccinations come with a huge amount of danger. And then they have these ad campaigns where they target certain socioeconomic groups and they go, be wise, immunize.
Yeah, cause,
really slick propaganda.
Yeah, because diseases won't travel from Otara up to Rimuera. Hey. You know, they'll have a big screening and they'll do it all for free down there, but they won't bother doing the ones in Rimuera. What, simply because they'll... The rich people can afford to get it done themselves, or simply because they won't get it done?
Obviously either that, or they're rich enough to know better.
Exactly.
Well, they go to private hospitals, and they don't have to, you know, deal with us plebs. And
quite a good guy. Actually, he said to me yesterday, I'm talking about it because he was actually a child, youth, and family social worker, and he knows the ins and outs of it. And he's just horrified by it. He actually, yeah. He actually like does his job as far as that goes, and you know was crucified essentially for it. But he said that, you know, John Key's kids aren't vaccinated. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would include his daughter Anna, which I find really funny. The Prime Minister's daughter is called Anna Key.
No, that's good. Honestly,
it is good.
That.
It is good. Yeah. And back on the topic of your child, now they've taken your son or your daughter, yeah. Because you had
son and
had
daughter,
both
son
of
and
them.
Daughter, two twins, yeah, both of them, yeah. When one of them apparently was the only needed to be taken under this supposed necessity for hospitalisation, which we had already I'd already organised with my own doctor. If they bothered to, like, this is all on the say-so of a doctor who never actually assessed her, seen her physically ever, and was just getting second-hand information. Basically, the last bit of, like, hands-on information that she got was from a nasty lush of a childcare nurse over on the island here. You know, she lost 20 grams, so she needed to go to hospital, you know.
So they kidnapped your youngest
two
children of the smallest of the two twins. Is that right?
Just the twins, yeah. Yeah.
They kidnapped both. They kidnapped both the twins.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
So right now they're in the. So right now both the twins are in the care of Child Protective Services. Is that right?
Yeah. I guess so. What is it? The ministry or whatever it is. Yeah,
we call it. Yeah, the SIFs.
Yeah,
I find
yeah,
it
child,
interesting
child,
how,
youth
how
and
they.
Family.
Yeah. I find it funny how they name a one of the worst organizations in the government after a venereal disease. Welcome here. Come on down to SIFs. We'll sort you out. And it's just disgusting, really. And the level of involvement here is very interesting because we've got doctors involved, social workers involved, we have the parents, the children, and it all seems to be working, conspiring together somewhat perfectly, if I might say so, to rob you of your kids, right? And they all seem to be working together, so... When they were taken into hospital, I believe your son had whooping cough and you just wanted to, you know, get him to stop coughing. And then they made up some statistic about how the babies need to be gaining so many grams a day, which was completely off the off the charts anyway, what the particular doctor who you were with was saying, according to your studies here. And so... Where exactly did it go wrong? I mean, when did you find out that they were really, really lying to you and trying to take your kids?
Oh, well, we've always had that sort of, you know, like, it's what they do. It's what they do, like, you know, as soon as the flags came up and we were involved in it, I was, you know, I needed to know more about it, you know, so I guess the only way I could find out more is online, you know, and, you know, you just type in child, youth and family and you're going to get at least half of what comes up there is going to be bad press. So it's not hard to sort of get a pretty quick idea on what they're about, you know. And the deeper you go, the more you find.
So
in black and white.
Can you run us through this in a brief way? When the children were born, what period of time it took for them to conspire and get this all going?
Well, they had this initial sort of investigation and stuff, and then that went through fine, and they made us do drug tests and all the rest of it, which we did. You know, we didn't have a lawyer at that stage. We just didn't, you know, we couldn't afford one. We couldn't afford one when we got a lawyer, but we got the money from somewhere. But and we did that, and the case was closed. Okay, everything was going along fine, essentially, as far as they could.
And the kids were how old then?
This was before we moved over to Waiheke. They would have been they would have only been, I guess, corrected. They would have been probably 2-3 months old or something.
Okay.
So we'd had them home 2 or 3 months. Yeah, 3 months I think it was, because that's how long the investigation was for. Yeah.
Okay.
So then we moved to Waiheke Island, and so everything was fine. We're like, oh, thank God for that. We're out of there. You know, that's over with, because it was really stressful for us. And then we're over in Waiheke, and we had ongoing issues, you know, just simply because the little girl, like, she wouldn't stop, like pooing, essentially, and we didn't know why, and we were sort of told that as a result we'd get like quite a bad nappy rash. I might add that the hospital's view on it was that when we inquired about it, that here's how they built up a really bad picture. I'll go back to start again. When we were at NICU in town, they moved us from town. We were living in West Auckland. They moved us to the North Shore Hospital for a month.
Well, you'll have to save that until after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest is David Kogler, coming at us live from Waiheke Island, New Zealand. And we'll be right back with some more horror stories for y'all. Please don't deserve.
My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end a planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. With Will on American Freedom Radio, Rush 89 FM Hamilton, and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our guest is David Kogler, who's just going to elaborate a little bit further on the incidents of his twins getting kidnapped by SIFs. Now, you left off saying that you had to move them to North Shore Hospital?
Yeah. So you're required to go in there. Essentially, what it's getting at is how they set you up to fail. It's just what they do, and so we've got two kids. One of them's at school, and we're having to travel in daily, and they're sort of expecting you there, get your kid off to school, and then trundle up our other child, who we're supposed to do God knows what with, and go up to the hospital and spend like all day up there until it's time to pick up the girl from school. So I then have to go back home from North Shore Hospital and then pick her up at 3 o'clock and then deal with that and then come back up afterwards again. And how are you supposed to like maintain a lifestyle, any kind of life like that at all, and you know, and everyone actually be able to, you know, I mean, so we did the best we could, which was more than most people, you know, like we're in there at least a couple hours a day, but still that wasn't enough, you know, like
it's yeah, never absolutely. The costs of doing it are quite horrendous as well. I remember when I had a job labouring in town and I was coming over from Waiheke every day, I worked 50 hours a week and wound up with $250 in the hand after all my travel costs.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And then we were there for a month until while they were there, the little girl had this most... This was when they said that we don't bother changing them until their 4-hour cares come round. So they've got a routine where they change them and stuff every 3 or 4 hours. Never mind that she's been sitting in crap for ages, and she's got an excoriated nappy rash that is like something that you'd see on rotten.com, you know, like it's just like it looked like an oversized cigarette lighter had been put out on her bum, you know. It's just, and they get away with that sort of like negligence, and you know, and everything else that, you know, essentially, this is the point I'm getting at, is when we went to the doctor over here in relation to the fact that she's getting nappy rash, it was nowhere near anything near that bad, but we're sort of like getting tired of it, and like, is there something wrong with her, you know? And we were very honest with the doctor. We said, look, you know, we've had issues and stuff and all the rest of it. We just need to be, basically, we just want to be believed. And given the respect to be believed and not instantly sort of like, they seem to just want a prevailing attitude of wanting to take that, it's obvious parent failure, because then they can sign it off like that and they don't have to do any extra work. They don't actually have to look into anything. And he was fine and all that until we disagreed with him, and then it was put down that, you know, that we obviously didn't change her. And all this sort of stuff, you know, which is just rubbish. I mean, we didn't wait till the cares. We changed her on demand, you know. Like, it's just that sort of lying and stuff. And you, how do you compete with that when it's a doctor, apparently, you know? Whoa, doctor, like they're a fucking better person than you or something, you know?
Oh, and by the way, we have FCC regulations that we have to abide by. It's a family show. No cuss words, please, but continue.
Yeah, sorry about that. They slip sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, what's fan here? I'm just trying to lay it out in my mind here. At what time frame did they actually take the children away from you?
They took them away 2 days before Christmas.
So at 6 months old, or?
That would be 7 to 8 months corrected. Like, okay. And, like, the... boy, like, I'd spend a month up in the hospital with my son, like, at Starship, living at Starship with my son for a month. You know, like, I don't know, you know, how much more dedication you can sort of show than that, you know? I mean, it wasn't a problem for me. It's what I would expect myself to do, you know? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But then all the... but then to be accused of negligence and stuff, you know, it's just... like it's just mind-boggling, to be honest. Like,
and did the courts rule this? Did you go to court and did they say?
We didn't get a chance to defend ourselves. So all the information that they used in obtaining their Section 78 was all like one-sided, and they didn't even bother talking to our doctor, who actually sees our babies like every week, that on our last visit. And incidentally, the day that they took them, I was due for a visit 2 days from that day, or the day after the next. I was seeing my doctor, and we were going to ascertain whether or not it was necessary for them to go to hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So she was gaining any weight. That was what the issue was. But it was, you know, there's so many.
They were saying 20 grams a day on someone who's less than, 1,000 grams.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, you know, it's just, they basically, like I said, set you up to fail. And all you can do is fail, and then you get judged accordingly.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's negligent.
So they come in and took your kids 2 days prior, and you weren't allowed to defend yourself in a court hearing.
What happened was, is I actually managed to call, we had a lawyer, but they did it around the time that our lawyer had gone away for the year. See, so we were denied our right of natural justice, essentially, as that goes, and we...
December 23rd.
Yeah.
They came and did it December 23rd.
22nd.
That's always a trick of theirs. That's when they set up the Federal Reserve Bank on the 23rd of December 1913, just as a little side issue there, but they love doing things as in disarray, especially when they're up something dodgy.
And, And it was at about like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So
and local police come around and enforce that, did they?
Yep, that's right.
Scum
yep.
local police, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, we had a few run-ins with them. And we were talking about earlier about the dog issue. They came around at that stage too, but that was more of a humorous thing because my partner actually told them where to go, and they kind of had to leave. But
so, is there any genuine reason why? I mean, I have to ask. I mean, is there any genuine reason why the police would have it in for you? Or?
No, I don't think the police can necessarily have it in for us at all. I mean, the police have to do as they're told. Like, it's law. I mean, I've read the law through now. You see, they, you know, on a court order, they have to abide by the decisions of the family court. You know, and that's what they that's what the social workers got. You know, social workers came around with the police. And to basically there to enforce their removal.
And so who was it who made this final decision? Was it a doctor? Was it a specialist in Auckland? Or was it a local GP?
Paediatrician in Auckland was the one that was making these calls. Now, it was requested by her that it was necessary for Lucia to come in. This is all based on no physical actual examination. They didn't even talk to our doctor, who was actually in... was actually in contact with the paediatrician anyway. Paediatrician didn't bother telling her about it. It's just really weird. Like, it just, you know, it was unnecessary, completely unnecessary. Like, I said to my doctor, look, whatever it takes, we just want them well. Let's get them well, you know. If they need to go to hospital, so be it. But, you know.
So how does it stand now? 2 weeks later, have you been able to visit your twins?
Well, that's the thing. Like, without any legal sort of representation, you've got to be so careful about what you agree to and what you don't agree to. The thing is, it's all real dodgy. Like, when we tried to lay an objection within an allotted time frame from that place of safety warrant, and we were stonewalled by the registrar at the family court. We were placing an objection. They stalled us. They sent my partner away with an objection she tried to lodge, basically because when she got there, they rang up SIRFs and basically said, oh, they're here to lodge an objection. And then they said, oh, no, you can't file this. And, of course, we don't know. I'm only going on the advice from someone over the phone. And gave us some documents to take away. You have to fill out these. And she brought them home, and we looked through them, and I rang up Hugh, who was helping me, and he said, don't fill those out, because if you do, you will actually be agreeing to the fact that they need to be in care and protection. And so I went in the next day with the forms and handed them over. Same ladies, they just put them through, no questions asked. You know?
Yeah.
Same
yeah, they were
forms,
just trying to store you.
Forms,
yeah.
Different day. They stored it. When I looked at when they've got their Section 78 interim custody order, bang, there's the dates. 23rd, when we tried to file our objection, is when they filed their Section 78, and yep. It was sealed on the 24th. So, you know.
They were just trying to get the jump on you, delay you by a few hours. And people wonder why we say there's an agenda out there. I mean, how can someone just be innocently doing their job? That's not even part of the process. They're going, like, outside the bounds. They're, like, bending the rules to suit their own agenda there. I mean, yeah, that shows malintent, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly, and I believe there's a provision in there. There's a reason for that 5 days that the place of safety warrant lasts, and in that time, they have to get this, that it only lasted that long, and they have to get an interim custody order or some other guardianship order. Now, if we'd got an objection and then everything had been done right, they wouldn't have been able to get that. We would have had to have gone straight to a hearing and stuff, and we would have been able to have our objections heard, but we weren't granted that. So as a result, they have custody, full rights, and we're denied any, you know, as far as...
So how long does this last for?
To be honest, like, it's like this time of year, it's like getting info is, you know, well, basically
so
that's why...
So they've just taken your kids and they've put them in a secure location somewhere, and they're not telling you where...
Well, they have to tell us where. They're in Starship Hospital, apparently. For how long, I'm not sure. Doing what there, I'm unsure of at this stage. We were offered...
Sorry? Sorry. Carry on.
We're offered a visitation and stuff, but what happened was is I actually came down with severe migraine on sort of New Year's Eve and was out to it for a couple of days, just intensely sick, like vomiting and carrying on. It was really horrible, actually. But in that time, the day before, we'd halfway arranged to have a 1 hour supervised visit. You know, like it's just and that in itself is insulting. And but I'd written to them. You know, I'd seen a fax through saying, "Well, that's fine, but." You know, I want to see any documentation that may, you know, what our agreeing to this may entail, you know, any consequences possible, you know, by knowingly or unknowingly agreeing, you know. We never got heard back anything from them about it, which, you know, and so, you know, by agreeing to going to a visitation, perhaps we're there in itself, we're agreeing to them, you get what I mean?
That's yeah, how yeah.
You agree into the premise, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the whole. Oh, I can't believe that. I really can't believe it.
So I can just see how people.
We can't believe it, and we can't understand it because the world's an insane place. And in order to accept or understand insanity, one must be insane. You know. Exactly. So the people who understand the world and it's accepted for the way it is and think it's just fine are crazy. You know, and the ones who don't accept society and do not understand it are the sane ones, like us.
They don't understand it. Most people don't accept
as,
it.
And, sorry. It's deemed as blooming, living in the clouds, and you know, little green men, and the whole like 26 ways of denouncing a conspiracy theorist simply by calling them a conspiracy theorist is one.
yeah. How ridiculous! I just can't believe that they can. Take your kin away from you, physically take your kin. This is so in a so-called democracy. Everyone knows that democracies don't ensure liberty. Anyone with half a brain knows that. But, you know, they can just do this, and everyone's like, oh, the state's just trying to care for children.
Oh, they've got their best part.
And now they're going to have their way and vaccinate them with everything under the sun. And oh, man, yeah. I don't know what to do.
I hope not. We got some documentation from the hospital today which says something about opting off the immunisation program, which is positive, I'm hoping, because that was something that was really concerning me. I don't know if it's, you know, some people it probably wouldn't be a big deal, but to me it's just kind of like if they were to do that against our will, then it's kind of like you're just poisoning our children, and that's just really wrong.
Indeed. Okay, and we will be right back just after this very short break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're breaking it down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. If you have your kids missing, you're probably very familiar with what we're talking about right here, right now. We'll be right back. VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tita Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting from New Zealand, live from the future, and the future looks bright. Speaking of brightness, our very special guest, David Cogler, coming at us from Waiheke Island, has had his twins goodnight. It's not a funny incident at all, and I'm sorry if I appear insensitive. But, you know, nobody else will really give you a chance to actually come on the radio shows and talk about it, will they, David?
No, that's right. No, it's not, you know, no one cares about it. It's not some interesting cat on the back of a motorcycle or some other inane, like, rubbish, you know, or rugby.
It's not a random car accident where nobody died, is it, you know?
Well, here's the news today. It's the same stuff spinning around.
There's so many like ins and outs, and particularly in our case, and probably in many other cases, like, you know, bits and pieces, and it spins my head around. And, you know, even by talking to you, you probably can gather that I even get myself confused, and, you know, like, and get my timeline confused trying to put everything down. But at the end of the day, it's like we've never like denied medical attention for our children. We wanted them always to be well, and we've made that perfectly clear, and we just haven't been believed, essentially. And when we've asked for help, we've basically not gotten it, in a sense. You get what I mean? Like, just as a result from not being believed, we basically just get attacked. So, you know, it's, yeah, like, we kind of wish we'd never gone to the doctor over here, for starters, because we wouldn't be in the position where we are now. We'd just try to battle on through as it was. But we thought we were doing the right thing by, you know. Understand?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult situation, even at the best of times, to try and get your head around it, because of the fact that it's such a frustrating mess. And, you know, stress and these sort of things, they have an enormous amount of damage that they wind up doing to people's bodies and all of this, that, and the other. So it's probably, I would never wish what's happened to you to happen to anybody, but I do know without question that it does, and it happens a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, they choose to shy away from it because they're scared, or because they don't want to get involved. They don't want to understand the complicated factions of it. They don't want to understand that their government is criminal, that everything's really, really wrong, and these things are being done intentionally. They'd prefer just to not know anything and just hope that it's a mistake.
I mean, it's not an isolated incident. Like, there's actually been a running story in the Sunday Star Times about SIFs and Starship and their prevailing attitude that parents are liars, and and we're not the only ones that are going through this sort of stuff as well. But, you know, the surface only gets scratched by it, and, you know.
It leads nowhere. All the news stories are designed to lead people into an abyss of nihilism and just uncaring, sympathetic, apathetic, you know, just bullcrap attitudes, whilst the authorities are systematically being trained. I mean, police pull you over these days, and they automatically ask, what have you been doing? Like, where have you been? Automatically. I've been left alone for them this entire Christmas period, which has been great. Last night, I come back from Auckland with the last ferry. I'm driving back home. It's only about 2 kilometres up the road. I get pulled over. Where have you been? Where have I been? I'm out and about. I'm not going to tell you anything. And breathe into this device, but we don't just want your breath. Name and address. And if you give them false information, oh, I can lock you up in a cell now.
You don't have to give them information, though, eh? I heard an interesting one someone said the other day, is that if you say that you have been threatened, you say, are you threatening me? The police officer's not allowed to threaten you or make you feel threatened, because then you go, and they'll go, no, and you go, well, I'm feeling threatened. And apparently the guy left him alone, eh? And he sent him on his way, because they're not allowed to do that.
I mean, this cop wasn't even trying to be intimidatory. This guy wasn't even being...
Just doing his job. It's
what they're trained... And all these authorities, these dog rangers and these... they're just nuts. They're just all trained to view the average citizen like a criminal. Like, you're up to something. And then if we view the establishment like criminals, oh, we're real paranoid. But their paranoia is directed onto us. See, it doesn't work both ways. I get these cops pull me over and say, hey, conspiracy theorist, what's the conspiracy tonight?
You know? Got any little green meth lately?
Yeah, or just everything to do with your job, that's all, pal. Everything to do with the economy, don't worry about that. That's all accidental. These banks just erected the tallest buildings in every major city in the world by accident. I mean, you know... Boy, it must be nice to be an ignorant douche government servant sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I can't understand.
That's the problem.
I have contempt for them personally, but yeah.
Well, it's a problem. And I'd like to thank you very much, David, for coming on the show with us today. And
all I can say is that if it hasn't happened to you, like, you know, just don't just look into it and just give people a chance that, you know, that things aren't always as they seem. And I'd appreciate the people that listen to this probably are of that mind anyway. So I'm kind of preaching to the converted there. But it's just, you know, it's just there's you just don't get a chance to be, like, listened to fairly. Justice is what you can, whether you can afford it, really, it seems. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is why we really like to give people the chance to actually be heard on this radio show because, well, nobody else is doing it, really. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood
Show. If anyone out there can help David, contact us.
Go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and fill out a contact form, and we'll put you in touch so you can give him a hand. Coming up next hour, we have, what was his name? Andrew Bridgman coming on to talk to us a little bit more about chemtrails and recent developments in the Southern Californian desertification process. We'll be right back next hour of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Big shout out to all our international listeners tuning in through the internet streams, including a fabulous guest who's been on the show before, Claire Swinney, who is in touch, giving us notes about our special guest, Andrew Bridgman, activist of California Skywatch and the Southern California Office of the Agriculture Defense Coalition, a resident of Ramona, San Diego, where the weather has changed from a desert region to having appreciable rainfall since chemtrails became prevalent. He makes some short videos, which he posts to his username, Jack42Grafton. So youtube.com/Jack42Grafton. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Vinny. Yeah, it's some interesting stuff, and it appears like in your region of the world, you're seeing some unusual occurrence or anomalies in the weather.
Aren't we all? You know?
Yeah.
It's happening everywhere. I'm a bit freaked out, to tell you the truth, mate.
Yeah, it's really wild to see all these strange anomalies that are happening with the weather, and now we're seeing animals affected by something. But yeah, the deluge of rain is quite unique, and you mentioned it. We've been hit with a lot of rain, and over the past 12 months, well, we're into the 13th month, but the new year, but over the up till the new year, we had over 40 inches of rain here in Ramona and pretty much Southern California. And it's unprecedented. We average about 10 inches of rain at the max. Being an observer and a researcher and watching how they're manipulating the weather and influencing weather fronts, I look at the satellite images on a daily basis now, and you can just see they're working off coast as fronts moving in, like the one we had for 7 days. They called the Pineapple Express, and they were just slamming the south side of the front that was coming basically from the south traveling north. But and then down into Mexico, looks like there was some harp activity. So heating the one side, slamming the other side with aerosols. And it's just amazing of all the unique things that are happening. The rain, and now we're seeing animals drop out of the sky. And there's a gentleman, I've been researching harp. I mean, it's a multi-purpose tool, just like the aerosols. But he, Mike on YouTube in Columbus, Georgia, has a YouTube page called Patriotic Space. And he has a friend that is a contractor.
We are going to break, unfortunately. Okay. It's just a short segment.
Sure.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, momentarily with our fabulous guest, Andrew Bridgman, from the Southern California Office of the Agriculture Defense Coalition. We'll be back.
Community with aluminium and barium.
Welcome back to the lighter side of genocide. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
With Will.
On AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, which has just gone under a recent remodeling, a facelift, if you will. And no, we didn't use botulism toxin to do it. Our very special guest is Andrew Bridgman from the Agriculture Defense Coalition Southern California branch. Andrew, welcome back.
Thanks again. And yeah, we were talking at break a little bit about HARP and how a lot of these technologies are really just really coming out of the woodworks. And that's back to touching base before we went to break on a gentleman in Columbus, Georgia, Mike, whose YouTube page is Patriotic Space, and you can go there. And there's a four-part interview with a friend of his that is a subcontractor for the Department of Energy and has all kinds of security clearances and has special education and training, certain parts of the military and training and so forth. But what's interesting about this interview is it's someone on the inside and basically disseminating information that a lot of us are still trying to figure out. We know that HARP has a potential for different things, but specific to weather and earthquakes, they dive into it. But we're being bombarded with different types of microwaves, and HARP is or that type of technology. We think about HARP as one location, and that type of technology is ready available to be moved around, you know, via vehicle. We've heard some reports that off the coast of California that there's been spotted a ship with an array out there. And so everybody needs to be aware of what's going on around them, the atmosphere, the political climate, and be prepared for an event. You know, that's another thing that Mike talks about is being prepared for any event. It doesn't matter whether it comes or not, but being prepared the best ability you can. And with our economic climate and with the financial crush, people they're scrambling to make ends meet. And with food prices going up, gas prices going up, and we look at weather modification and geoengineering and how they're going to impact food production.
That's and, you know, Virginia Silcox. That was Virginia Silcox, wasn't it?
I don't know Virginia personally, to be honest with you, but this is something Rosalind and I just talked about this last week, was her main concern is hands, gloves off, and we've got to really start talking about what the impacts of geoengineering on the economic end. You know, people are hurting for money, and these schemes of putting, or not schemes, but these programs of putting aerosols in the atmosphere, diminishing sunlight, which is going to reduce crop production, and then weather anomalies that inundate, you know, a large section of anywhere in the United States, or you can look at Australia right now, they're underwater. There's major infrastructure damage. There's going to be a lot of problems with people getting to fresh water and food. So being prepared is at least have water at hand and some kind of supplies for food for a period of time, and start planting your own gardens. We've all have been just so dependent on the nice structure of easily just go down to the street to get our food, and we don't grow, most people don't grow any. And so growing fruits and vegetables, and now we're going into another tangled part of the web, is like here in the United States, they just passed the S-510 bill, which was passed as a tack on under the Veterans Affairs bill. They slipped it in, and it passed, and they want to harmonize this bill with Codex Alimentarius. And most Americans don't know about Codex Alimentarius. They're going to set precedent on what nutrients are available in vitamins, and it's basically the bare minimum. It isn't the maximum, and they're not looking at it as a therapeutic. They're looking at they want to take control of our food supply, just basically that. And it's also going to give them the ability to control food coming into the United States. So looking at weather modification as a control tool is just a part of, I think, the whole grid of the control that they want. The federal government and executive office is just out of control. And all I can say is people really need to be prepared. You have something to...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like you're saying that they're out of control, and I find this really ironic, because that's all that they want, really, is control. Mm-hmm. And in order to get it, you've got to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you taking know? Control from us and yeah.
And going out of control themselves, you know. They want control over us, and in order to do so, they have to be completely out of control. It's so funny.
Well, and they're losing, you know, there's a mass awakening across the globe. And here in the United States, at least the American people have the right to bear arms. I think they're deathly afraid of, you know, what we could do. They're pulling out all the stops. When Barack Obama went into office, all these crazy schemes just seemed to start flying out exponentially. And like last year, we went from clear skies to just complete geo skies, and now just about every day, you know, this is something that John Holdren endorses. You know, read his book, Ecoscience. I haven't, but by what excerpts I've read, it's it's about the control grid, controlling the masses. Yeah.
And Americans can fight back against that because, you know, they got the right to bear arms, whereas New Zealanders, I mean, for goodness sake, the biggest thing that we've talking about is the right to bear arms is being able to wear a T-shirt.
A T-shirt or a rock, yeah, if you're lucky, yeah.
Mm.
I know.
It's insane. Oh, my God. The frustration that I feel that we've got huge mainstream media complexes that have such amazing stories that they could be covering, but they're covering crap, you know, dull stuff. And when things happen like this this big bird kill-off that happened in Arkansas, they say it's like, oh, it's fireworks or bad weather. And it's like, it's even to rudimentary morons, that just sounds absolutely ridiculous. It sounds insane.
Yeah, it is insane. Yeah, not only in Arkansas were there birds, but 100 miles away were the fish kill. Then back in January 28th in New Jersey, there was a large bird kill, a starlings, and that was supposed to be a intentional poisoning. But when birds are falling out of the sky, I mean, that's quite unusual. And, you know, on New Year's Eve, now I don't know what the weather was like there, but even at that, the area that it covered doesn't correlate with, you know, a washing machine type action vortex brought them up, you know, did this and that. That's just craziness.
And it didn't account for the fact that the birds were liquefied on the inside either.
Inside. And that's what's interesting about this region where these bird and fish kill is that it's on the New Madrid fault line. And then again, I'll go back to Mike in Columbus. That was
What's the New Madrid fault line?
Well, I'm learning a little bit more about it, but it's a large fault line that runs up from the south up through Tennessee, Kentucky. And what's interesting about it is in the late 1800s, this thing let loose, and it was catastrophic in comparison to what we've seen on the San Andreas here in California. Being it's within the continent, due to the stresses, it has a potential for extreme magnitude earthquakes. And in fact, there's some exercises on emergency responses to a large earthquake on the New Madrid, and it's supposed to happen in I should have had that information up when I got on, but it's planned for, I think it's May of 2011, and if you want more information, like I said, I'm going to direct you right over to Mike on his YouTube page, Patriotic Space. It's a new video he did last night, I believe, or 2 days ago. And it goes in extreme coverage of all the documents. It covers about how they've actually looked at the locations of where these bird kills were and how they tune HAARP to focusing its array and on a 120 degree angle. And that's, if you look, there's a map and he shows the whole layout. It's a 120 degree angle on where these birds were killed. I think the three cities, BB and two other ones. But it's quite interesting, and people need to learn a little bit more about the New Madrid fault line. And I'll try to bring this up maybe a little bit later. I have a bunch of windows open up on my computer, but I didn't open that one up. So, yeah, and if you go to eastlandscience.com or Eastland Solutions, this site has all the different types of projects that HAARP can be used on. And in looking at it, weather modification, gravity waves, tornado modification, there's altitude cleanup of particles. And then there's also the section on Armageddon, then military use, missile defense, hard kill, upset, basically disturbing, you know, a field of area with... I mean, HAARP has different... using resonance waves has potential for all different kinds of things. But this is a great place to go because all of this is based off of Tesla patents, and Bernard Eastland just basically took it to another level, and here we are. We've got these unbelievable technology that's being used for weather modification and military application. And like you say, we were talking about at break, was that, you know, using it as a military weapon is very concerning, because just like these birds, they just fell out of the sky and their insides aren't quite to be what they should and look like a pile of goop. So I don't think hail's going to do that. It is, you know, scary.
Imagine that kind of happening to a human population. I mean, dig this, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine your town suddenly drops down dead. everybody at the same time flops around on the ground for a couple of seconds, and then autopsies later come on, and they find out that everybody's insides have been liquefied. And then you hear on the news about this happening to somebody else's town, and they tell you, oh, it must have been hailstones or fireworks.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's the level of retardation we're dealing with here in this country. Well, in all of our countries, really. Aren't we like this global stupefied mess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and you look at the CFR, and they've had big discussions on unilateral global geoengineering, and we're seeing this, you know, everywhere. We're seeing it in the UK, you know, Australia, you know, France, Germany, Canada. And then looking at the scary point, we're kind of diverting away from HAARP a little bit, but, you know, we've got planes now that are just flying around, you know, putting stuff into our atmosphere. Well, it wouldn't, you know, a plane could fly over. You wouldn't have any idea what they're dropping out of the sky. And it may be just some kind of test and people get very ill or, you know, worse. Now, I've here seen recently, I actually caught a good capture here a couple of weeks ago of an F-16 type plane fly right over. And all of a sudden, we've got a plume coming out the rear end. And then it stopped, and I finally got my camera focused on it. And so, yeah, the military is very involved in this. You look at the patents, and we don't know who all this stuff is, where this stuff's coming from. Well, a lot of it's the military. I mean, what better way to keep it in a covert deal? But, you know, people can just fly around and dump anything in the atmosphere. That's worrisome. You know, beyond just weather modification and, you know, I don't know.
I know exactly how you feel. I mean,
I'm a loss for words, is what I said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we're talkers and we research this stuff all the time, but when it comes to this sort of ridiculous, mountainous, horrible kind of possibilities, we're lost for words. You know, we're coming into some very freaking well, I would say interesting times, mm-hmm. but you know. Beyond me, yes, it technically is interesting, but it's more freaking scary. You know, it almost makes my heart stop beating in my chest momentarily while I try and process the possibilities. You know, and this is the difficulty being a truther is that you know the general population doesn't have to worry about stuff like this because they don't know, they don't care, they don't have any responsibilities as far as they're concerned. Living in this freaking nihilistic relativist, you know, utopia. and we're the right. ones who actually think about stuff and actually care about our countries and what the heck goes on. And as a result, we have real bad stress levels, isn't it?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
That's not something that encourages other people to get involved either, Vinny. I think we have to, you know, temper that stress, and because, you know, it only exists because more people aren't getting involved. That's the truth of it. If the burden was spread over a larger section of the society, then this wouldn't be such a big issue. Mm-hmm. Any of these issues wouldn't be such a big issue. Unfortunately, there's a lot of weight resting on a few people's shoulders who've kind of put it on themselves. You know, we put it on ourselves because it's the only option you have once you can see all what's going on, right? What else are you meant to do?
Yeah. Well,
go and live your life.
Yeah. I was telling our guest, David, before the show today, that despite the fact that bad things are happening all over the world and bad things are happening to him and that kind of thing, incredibly awesome things are happening to me every day and I can't stop being really happy, right? It's insane. Like, everything's going wrong and yet everything's going right for me. And so I kind of almost selfishly want to enjoy what little happiness that I can squeeze out of this enormous lemon that we call planet Earth.
Well, you have to
itch out a living from the salt mine, you know.
yeah you really have to, you know. When I first became aware of, you know, this has been not just about geoengineering, it's been about going to break.
Yes, we are. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest Andrew Bridgman, is going to join us right after the break. We'll be right back after these fabulous messages. Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Our very special guest, Andrew Bridgman, the Geo Buster, joins us live. Andrew, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, we were talking about the weather storms being created in some Middle East.
Abu Dhabi,
yeah. I got an email from Rosalind, and it was on the Telegraph, and Abu Dhabi Weather Project creates man-made rainstorms. Well, isn't it interesting? They're reporting this about the Middle East, and they're doing that here in the United States. We don't see any of that on any paper. Any online newspaper, it just drives me crazy. And we were talking about how you feel this weight. Yeah, and I do. It drives me crazy when I see information and it's not being presented. And it's our media here has not said one thing about any of this activity. And these meteorologists all know what's going on. Every last one of them. I don't care what station. They can see these forms these columns being made, as you know, I'm sure, before they go up on their modeled blue screen, because I go on MODIS and check it all the time, and you can see these little plumes, and then you can go back later and see them build. But yeah, Weather Project, these are weather programs. What was the thing? We're still in a climate gate, folks. We haven't left the climate gate. They're still a big part of this story. Beyond climate change and global warming, which they pulled out of a rabbit's hat, and this is just an arm extension to divert your attention, or the climate gate and all that is to divert your attention away from them creating the climate change and all these crazy weather anomalies. So I live in a desert and they're making rain all the time. They can do it in the summer. They tried real hard this summer. I think they were playing around with it a little bit, but they created a lot of lightning. But yeah, so that's just another project in just another country. So we've got all these projects going all at once. And then here's, let's throw one out. They always model all these things on Mount Pinatubo and how when it erupted, it created droughts and it created, crazy weather anomalies. Well, now they've been injecting the atmosphere all around the world with all these tons and tons of nuclei and whatever else not. And then all of a sudden we have a major eruption from a volcano. And we could be in real trouble. We've had, in the early 1800s, there was, I don't know which volcano erupted, and they had kind of like a nuclear winter. What would happen if we had suddenly, if we're in post-glacial rebound, and we're having a magma push, and suddenly we have all these, now we've had a lot of eruptions, but what if we had a major one, and all of a sudden we have all this material up into the atmosphere that adds into all this stuff. I mean, this is the crazy science that I get worried about. You know, the what if? And it's not science fiction anymore.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, mad scientists are everywhere, but they don't look like mad scientists. They look like business people. And they really do care at all. I mean, take our politicians, for example. I mean, talk about the problems with the weather, and they talk about it being caused by fossil fuels when alternative to fossil fuels already exist and are being used to modify the weather, you know? And in 1904, Nikola Tesla, who offered free energy to the world and whose work was suppressed by industrialists who wanted to be able to change the public for power, developed transmitters to harness scalar technology from one transmitter to another, undetected by passing time and space, you know? Mm-hmm. And this kind of stuff, totally suppressed. No, we don't want that. We want an excuse. We want an excuse to control everybody. We want an excuse to play our mad scientific games on the population because we're just that much of a bunch of evil, evil, evil Satan-worshipping slime. Oh, yes. You know, it's almost like these comic book characters are in charge of the country. You know what I'm saying, Andrew?
Oh, most definitely. And when you're talking about Tesla, that's just a great example of the amount of real in-depth knowledge of what Tesla's done, and you know, guys like Frank Zdarzyk, and then we can go all the way back to Max Planck, and these guys have known about nanotechnology for over 100 years, and the free energy is available, and like you say, it's about control. They are going to use all the natural resources to and in the meantime control us while we have all these technologies that would give us pure, clean water, clean air, and free energy. Or energy that would be even less expensive than it is now. So, you know, the control of the science world is it's craziness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like dogmatic sort of insanity, you know. Do scientists actually get trained to be jackasses? Or is that just, you know, a side effect?
I think they get paid. I mean,
paid to be a jackass. I mean, seriously, scientists are now officially the Johnny Knoxville of the professional world.
Well, you know, when they get trained in a method of thinking, they get trained as to what constitutes proof and evidence. And so they have a certain path of which they are, you know, institutionalized to think along. That's the problem, because no one inventor has ever thought along an institutionalized path. Galileo.
Yeah, and also Bernard Estlin's patent for HARP, he drew on ideas from Tesla's work, and, you know, the public's not supposed to know any about this technology even existing. It does not suit those who want to bring in a green tyranny, you know? They want to use environmental crises that they've created as an excuse to control virtually every aspect of our lives and do not seem to give a flying F if they cause serious harm to our environment in the process, you know? And that's why we call them green Nazis, because they'll do far more damage than any Nazi occupation ever did, because they're going to try and do it globally, because they've got slaves who are ready, willing, and able to sacrifice themselves upon the altar of Gaia to do so,
this
you know?
Is the problem. This is the problem when you grow a big government that gets its tentacles into every aspect of your lives. Take this as a small example. They've rolled out these credit cards now in New Zealand. They've been around the rest of the world for a period of time now. But in New Zealand, credit cards with microchips in them that can be skimmed. So people can carry around skimming devices. They get within a certain range of you, and they've got all your details logged on a handheld digital device as they walk past you in the supermarket or in the mall or on the street somewhere. And so that's an example where they created a technology which they knew full well has insecure software that can be hacked in order to design in another problem that becomes institutionalized, so then people call out for more technology. So this is how they get to their end goal of microchip society. They just keep ushering out more solutions with more problems because they want to drive you to their final solution, but they want it to be of your own consenting accord. You know, they want...
Yeah, it reminds me...
That's what cultists and magicians do. It's all with your acceptance. It's hidden in plain view. That's what it has to...
What it does remind me of, well, is the Illuminati Covenant. Have you read that document? Very, very interesting. Talking about the way that they're going to get their agendas through is to cause a problem, and then when people come to them to say for a medication, for example, the medication that's supposed to cure whatever problem, in fact, creates more problems for which they'll offer you another medication and things of that nature. This is what's going on here, is that we're all being manipulated extremely well by experts who know precisely what they're doing.
But this happens on multiple levels every day. I call these idiot people who say, you're against a healthcare bill. But, I mean, wouldn't you like, don't you want to have free healthcare if you break your arm or leg? Don't you think that should be accessible for everyone? There's no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, there's no, if you take something, if you're providing a service, you're taking wealth from elsewhere. A government has nothing. Government isn't some holier-than-thou institution that can just abracadabra, creates matter, creates money, although they print fiat currencies. If the government can provide a service like that, they're having to take it from other people. And then there comes in this whole idea that, there should be, you know, we should tax the rich more and so the poor can have more, but then you just make everyone poor. That's not a sustainable model. They talk about sustainability.
Sustainability, yeah.
Well, and you know, now with this whole bill being, you know, passed, that there is no real free healthcare. You know, you could before, you know, here in the U.S., if you went down to the emergency room, I mean, you're going to get treated. You know, you are responsible for your bill, but, you know, now you have to basically prove that you can pay for the services before it's even you can get services. So, and
yeah. But well, New Zealand is a combination of, we have a combination of user pays and collectivism, everyone pays. Mm-hmm. We have a combination. It's just like we have a merger of capitalism and socialism. We have the privatizing of profits and the socializing of debt. We have the worst of both systems, and they have the elite enjoy the best of both systems.
Right. You know, because they don't have to abide by either of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they use a twin rail system. And then they divide us along those two parallel rails, or the community arguing with each other forever, people wanting to spit in the face of people like us. And they're just being controlled and manipulated all the way to the bank.
Well, I know that we're on the charge here in the United States, and we're just going to keep on going. And I'm a sentient being, and I hope more other people join in. And that appears to be starting to happen. Now, I go back 12 months ago when I was just at the beginning of this geoengineering journey. There was hardly anybody on YouTube that had anything. You know, that was pretty much the place you had to go to get information other than some little stuff on the internet. And then I've watched the whole evolution where, yeah, people started to recognize what's going on. Now there's a ton of people out there, got tons of information and video. But now the true information is starting to gather. Now people are now wanting to consolidate and get organized. And that's the direction right now that Rosalind and I had a discussion, is we're going to start working on the organizing a collective effort. Because people are actually coming forward. I get emails all the time off the California Skywatch site. And, you know, people say, a gentleman emailed the other day saying he just can't believe how this program's been ramped up. And since it's become ramped up, his wife is ill, and they know, and I've talked to other people, they know that it's a direct correlation by when they're doing extreme heavy spray days. Then I get people that email me saying, hey, what can I do? And right now I'm at that point where I don't have that, I've got a plan of action, but I'm sending out the message that we're working on that. And that's the thing we need to do is consolidating our efforts. Because,
and that's called illegal too. Then people say, oh, look, they're conspiring against the government. They have these plans to implement their will. I mean, and then, you know, it's going that far down the line, Michael. That, I mean, they can just say, Andrew, sorry. They can just say, look, these guys are actively recruiting. I mean, it's almost like, and then you'll find agents wanting to join your group, and
And not to mention, you know, and if you doubt what Andrew's saying, that people are getting sick from chemtrail spraying and stuff like that, have a look at the declassified New Zealand Defence Force reports, who reveal chemtrail are linked to the outbreak of illnesses. You can get that on chemtrailsnorthnz.wordpress.com, the Claire Swinney's website there. Okay, this is not a joke. This is not a theory. This is fact. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Check us out on Facebook. We'll be back with the final segment right away. Monkey wrench into the jet engines.
I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming.
No, I'm not advocating destroying FAA property.
Government property, yeah.
Unless you can get away with it. Now, I joke. I like you. I like it very much, especially when you spray me with the very toxic chemicals in my water supply. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Our very special guest is Andrew Bridgman. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you. Hey, and before we get caught up in conversation, just to clarify a couple of things, I'm the Southern California Executive Director for the California Skywatch, and that's CaliforniaSkywatch.com, and that was founded by Rosalind Peterson. And basically, it was her first site and organization. And then she found that she was doing a lot of research, and she wanted that to be available. And then she co-founded the Agriculture Defense Coalition. And so these are complementing sites. Now, the Agriculture Defense Coalition has a lot of different subjects. It could be weather modification, geoengineering, the bees, and other stuff. But what's interesting about that site, it has, I think, over 20,000 government documents and other sources of information on subjects of geoengineering and weather modification and bees and so forth. And then, of course, I have my YouTube channel. And that was kind of it was supposed to be a site for family to go and check out videos of stuff I do, and then it turned out to be my geoengineering thing, and that's Jack 42 Grafton. And then here recently, working with people around the world, and Claire Sweeney helped me put this thing together. It's called Geoengineering Watch International, and that's on WordPress free site. And then, of course, you have, I'm plugging for a good site for people to go for information, and that would be geoengineeringwatch.org, and that is put together by Mauro Oliveira, and also Environmental Voices. And then you have Michael Murphy's Coalition Against Geoengineering. Now, what's interesting is that Rosalind Peterson, Michael Murphy, Mauro Oliveira, Deborah Whitman from Environmental Voices, and Dane Wigington, all were kind of we all organized to go down to the AAS meeting in San Diego in last February, where Mike started his journey on his documentary on what in the world they were spraying. So us Californians are really been hard hitting on this subject of geoengineering, and I suspect there's going to be some more documentaries coming out. I know when I last saw Michael Murphy up in Los Angeles at one of his showings, I ran into Stuart Howe of GNC Radio. And I guess Alex Jones is going to be coming out with a documentary, which I hope so. So it keeps the steam going And as far as I know, I don't know if Michael and you guys had talked about if what his next project, and I've been kind of pressing him on that one because I know he's busy right now doing a lot of interviews, but I'll leave it at that. Just wanted to cover a couple things, especially specifically about that I represent both Agriculture Defense Coalition, and basically she shifted me from the Agriculture Defense Coalition over to California Skywatch because that was my primary focus and research. So you can go there and get information. There's contact information. Right now my phone is offline as far as if you want to call, but please email. Roslyn is back. I know a lot of people have been trying to contact her, but she should be more ready available. And if anybody has any ideas, please come forward. Photos, and especially with the Geoengineering Watch International site, that there was designed for people around the world to send us information. Hey, send us, hey, you know, my wife's affected by these compounds when they're spraying heavily, and, you know, we'll exclude your name, but we'll put your region of the country, any photos or any other relevant information.
All right. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show with us today, Andrew. You have mm-hmm. yourself a wonderful chemtrail afternoon.
I'll try to keep my breaths not too deep, but I thank you so much for obliging me to coming on.
Oh, absolutely.
Get to walk around like Michael Jackson soon with those big masks on, you know. Gloves, maybe.
Well, that may be the sign of the times, but we don't want it that direction.
Yeah. And, ladies and gentlemen, just bear in mind, this is a deadly serious kind of incident going on here. I mean, after all, we've had these big bird deaths in Arkansas. Now we're having hundreds of snapper wash up on New Zealand beaches in the Coromandel, and similar stories coming out of Sweden. So there is something going on, and it's going on everywhere simultaneously. Highly suspicious, highly freaky. But goodness knows what it really is, and even if we did know, the government would never admit it. Really, would they? And that's
and
the
you
difficulty.
Can't trust us because we're on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. We are not a credible source of information, which is why we bring on people who are credible, like Andrew Bridgman from the Agricultural Defense Coalition.
But we haven't been peer reviewed by the United Nations Occult Committee.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. We haven't been given a Nobel Peace Prize, you know, for doing Jack.
Like Al Connard Gore.
Exactly. Yeah, and geoengineering is not just about the atmosphere. It's anything that's, changing the atmosphere by putting chemicals or, sending out microwaves, whatever. But it's actually intentionally engineering a situation that affects, you know, whether it be weather or other circumstances. So I'm making sure that we're covering the whole spectrum there.
And it is a big topic with many, many ins and outs, ladies and gentlemen, we can assure you. Thanks, Andrew, for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you extremely exorbitant amounts for listening to our humble Vinnie Eastwood show. With Will! And we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, so will you.